Welcome to episode 5 of the Edisto TV podcast, produced by Edisto TV, connecting the Blackwater region. Here are our hosts, Hugo and Tom.
And welcome back to the Edisto TV podcast. This is episode number 5. I'm Hugo.
And I'm Tom.
And we are recording this on Monday, the 23rd of June. The Blackwater Fest was just a couple of days back. And so part of what we're going to do today is review what happened at that. We're also going to talk a bit about Edisto TV, a couple of things to discuss, and I believe Tom will have most of the information there. We're going to have our interview with Jerry Bell. Tom did that. Tell us who Jerry Bell is, Tom.
Jerry Bell is the executive director of the Bamberg County Chamber of Commerce.
Awesome. And he was out at the event, is that correct?
He was at Blackwater, and also we're going to talk about some other kayak river trips that he does pretty regularly down there.
Okay, we'll look forward to that. And also we'll have our feature on the history in the Edisto River Basin, going to be borrowing from the report of the Edisto River Basin Project from back in 96 to give some more sort of introductory information about the Edisto's history. I guess we jump right into it with Blackwater, Tom. You camped the night before. Why don't you start us out with what the night before was like, and then we'll segue into what the day of the event was.
Sure. Well, for one thing, Aiken State Park had a pretty good crowd, I would say. Mr. Mahoney, the park supervisor, he said that, you know, they usually have 15 to 20 on a weekend. But anyway, so it was pretty full park, and it was a little warm, but it did cool down. And... You know, we got started working on the Blackwater thing first thing Saturday morning, but it turned out to be hot, sunny, but that's what you expect in June in South Carolina in the Blackwater region.
I have to admit that I was pretty tired after we paddled from Aiken State Park down to Keedles Bridge back at the first of the month, but I was tireder when I went home after the Blackwater event.
Yeah.
It was a big day.
The sun really takes it out of you.
Yeah, and speaking of that, really want to thank everybody who came out, everybody who volunteered, everybody who contributed. It's one of those things that we put it together this year, really at the last minute. I guess we had about 5 weeks from the time we decided we were going to do it till when Saturday showed up.
Yeah, I really wasn't sure we'd pull it off, but I think it came together really well. I think we had... I estimated probably 250 people that it came throughout the day. I'm anxious to hear what the people at Fred say, but there was at least 150 at one time, about midday during lunch, right before and right after. But there was quite a number of people came through there and got to enjoy Aiken State Park. It was a lot of traffic for Aiken State Park, which is not usual.
We're going to be talking to Tim Rogers. I don't know if we're going to get him on the line in time to make this week's podcast. If not, we'll have him for next week. But I know that the plan was we were supposed to have catered barbecue for 150, and they ran out of barbecue. So I think we did pretty well in terms of attracting people out to the park. I'll be curious to see what Friends of the Edisto's actual numbers are, because
we were tracking that. And also, if you look, we'll make sure you get pictures on the Edisto TV as well as on the Facebook pages. But the animals from Savannah River Ecology Lab, those were pretty amazing. They had a coyote there. They had huge turtles and all kinds of cool things. So that was really good. You know, I'm hoping – I don't know if everybody who should have seen all that got a chance to see it, but that was really nice. And also Bill Marshall was over there on the other side of the lake doing a presentation that I seen pictures of, but unfortunately I didn't get to hear it. So I'm kind of anxious to find another opportunity to hear what he had to say.
Right. Well, Sean Poppy was the guy from Savannah River Ecology Lab's outreach department who came out with the critters and I understand did an awesome show. I was actually over on the other side of the lake at that point, helping out with the site where the music and everything was going on. But really heard nothing but wonderful things about Sean and the program. I know Tim Rogers was thrilled that they came out and did that for us and is looking forward to hopefully having them come to future Friends of the Edisto events. So hopefully that won't be the last we've seen of Sean and the outreach guys from SREL.
And the Bill Marshall thing, did you get a chance to hear? Bill Marshall from DNR was doing a presentation.
I did get a chance to sit through one of the iterations of it. He did a couple earlier on before lunch, and I sat through most of one of those. I was running around a fair bit, but I did have a chance to sit down. Very interesting. He was looking at things from the perspective of his day job at DNR, but also integrating what he was talking about with his perspective as a board member at Friends of the Edisto, and using the example of the water registration at Walther Farms as a way of talking about what we think needs to change in order to have the Surface Water Registration Act do the things that it's really supposed to be doing. And hopefully that, you know, over time we will see the law change to encompass.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we found from DNR, we have some of the papers that they had presented to the legislature during the time of that discussions of that law. And DNR, I think it's fair to say, warned that, you know, the way things were written, that we had a real problem with this law. And so, you know, thank goodness for the people at DNR. Their job is to protect the natural resources of this state. Unfortunately, you know, they didn't get their way in this particular law. And hopefully next time around, we'll listen to them a little more closely.
Yeah. Actually, Bill, it was very interesting when Bill was talking about how the law really isn't accomplishing what it needs to do in order to meet its stated goals. He was unpacking a lot of the more technical aspects of how the safe yield analysis is done. In fact, I spoke to him in a break between presentations, and he said he'd be happy to come on and talk to us on the podcast one day. So future podcast, we'll have Bill on, and rather than us sitting here and trying to explain what he did, we'll let him do it for all of y'all.
For more information and archived podcasts, visit us at edisto.tv.
The Edisto River Basin Project, the 1996, this large book that I'm holding in my hand that we use a lot, you know, Bill Marshall was a major contributor to this. And it's pretty incredible. If you get a chance, we're going to post it up on the edisto.tv website. But this document, that the study that was done in the 1995-1996 area, is pretty incredible, the amount of information that's gathered about the Edisto River Basin. So anyway, I know Bill, I told him one time, I said, "Hey, Bill, yeah, I read your book." He's like, "Really? You must be the only one." I said, "No, I know Hugo read it. It's 226 pages, but, you know, it's really not a bad read. I recommend it to anybody." So we'll put it up on the web page, and you can take a look.
You know, one of the things about this report, since you mentioned it, that I found really interesting was this was the result of the study that went on for a couple of years before the report came out in 96. And the report is built around a whole series of GIS layers that unpack what's going on with various aspects of what is in the Edisto River Basin. And that's something that you're seeing a lot of now, 20-something years later, but at the time was really very much a cutting-edge approach to looking at natural systems. So it's an interesting document. As Tom says, it does have a lot of detail in it, so depending on how into it you are, you may want to skim some of the charts and graphs.
Well, but I'm kind of a map guy. I really love maps of all sorts. So, I mean, looking at all the maps in there and the different ways of looking at the river and the different sections of the river, you know, I enjoyed it.
All right. So we digressed a little bit there talking about the report. But back on Blackwater, one of the things that happened that I think came as a surprise to us, I didn't know it was going to happen, was Aiken Representative Bill Taylor showed up and had with him a proclamation to Fred and the folks putting together the first annual Blackwater Festival. And I believe we've got a clip of that, so let's roll that audio.
The state of South Carolina, the House of Representatives, on the motion of Representative Bill Taylor and members of the House of Representatives, we honor and commend the Friends of the Edisto. Honoring and congratulating the Friends of the Edisto on the inauguration of the Blackwater Summer Festival being held on Saturday, June 21st, 2014, at the Aiken State Park. The first, hopefully, of many more to come each year. This festival will bring awareness to the Edisto River, the longest undammed, unlevied Blackwater River in North America. The festival will host a number of educational exhibits as well as wildlife from the Savannah River Ecology Lab. Congratulating and recognizing all who have come together here, all of you, and to help sponsor this great event. We, the members of the South Carolina House of Representatives, thank you for your hard work and dedication and wish you all continued success in your future endeavors. Given on this, the 21st day of June 2014, State House of Columbia, for the Clerk of the House, Charles Reed, and the Speaker of the House, Bobby Hurley. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, Hugo, what do you think of the proclamation that's been made?
Nothing to think but that it was nice as could be that they did that. We really appreciate support wherever we can find it. We really do think that this is an issue that transcends politics. I will say that kind as it was of them to say nice things, I would prefer the legislature do something about this than just tell us that they appreciate our efforts. But it was very kind of them. How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I think words matter. So I think saying, you know, we support what you're doing and, you know, we appreciate the hard work and all that is fine. But we really need to get the law changed. So that's kind of my position on it. I did actually get a chance to talk to Representative Bill Taylor. And, you know, I kind of expressed my frustration that we really haven't gotten anywhere on this issue. You know, I mean, we really, the first day of session, you remember we were up at the State House and we actually thought we might do something and we hadn't done a thing. And now he says, well, oh, you have, you've moved the ball forward tremendously. Government moves slow. It's just not going to happen overnight, but you're definitely, you've done a lot in a year. So I'll take that as a pat on the back, but really, I mean, we got a long way to go, you know, between now and the close of the next session.
I agree completely. I have another piece of audio, slightly less freighted with issues. And that is one of the things we had out there was a fishing tournament for the kids who came out to Blackwater. And here's Doug Busby announcing the winners of that.
I get to announce the winners of the kids' fishing tournament. Who won?
Who?
Me.
Mr. Ethan Luke Randall is a winner. And we actually have a co-winner today. And it's Mr. Haynes Bishop. Is that right? Mr. Haynes Bishop, would you come up too? We have two winners today. This is Mr. Haynes Bishop and Mr. Ethan Luke Randall. And on behalf of Friends of the Edisto, I want to present to you a brand new fishing rod each and hope you catch many, many more. Okay? Step out here and step out in the sunshine just a little bit. Now put your poles down there so they can get a picture. Stand them up like this. Stand them up like that. There you go. Let me get out the way.
Those kids were great. When Doug gave them the fishing rods, you could tell those rods are going to be the object of a lot of proud explanations of where they came from and probably get a lot more big fish coming in the years to come.
Blackwater is really, I think it's going to turn into a family thing. The other thing is, like, my granddaughter, who's 8 or 9, sorry, oops, My granddaughter was swimming in the lake, and I mean, that is a great thing. Every kid ought to grow up and know, be comfortable swimming in the lake or swimming in the river. I ended the day with a paddle downstream, and I won't mention names, but the folks I were with, they wanted to end the day with a swim in the river, and you know, that just made it a great day. And I think, you know, to me, the whole thing was about the river, and to see, you know, grown-ups taking a dip was a lot of fun. I was glad. Good way to end the day.
All right. We won't talk about whether or not swimming outside of designated swimming areas is permitted at the state park. We'll just assume that they were grown up and they knew what they were doing.
I know a place where the brim don't bite, where the black water dances in the moonlight. You and I can take a dip, cool off in the water, leave our clothes and cares behind. I'll bring a job right at watermelon moonshine. Shins, 100 in cut-off jeans, ain't missing nothing. So leave them on the bank, don't think about it. Jump in, let's go skinny. Dip in, it's a tempting proposition, skinny.
This is episode 5 of the Edisto TV podcast, and we will be right back after this.
This is Tom from the Edisto TV podcast, and I just want to put in a word for Tyler Brothers. They've been serving the Blackwater region for over 100 years. They have
lawn and garden center with plenty of steel and Husky chainsaws, weed trimmers, blowers, plenty of Husqvarna mowers, and if you've got a lot of grass to cut, check out those Husqvarna zero-turn mowers. They have three or four different models to choose from. Check them out at tylerbrothers.net, or if you're on Facebook, you definitely want to follow them and get the latest deals from them. You can find them at facebook.com/tylerbros or search for Tyler Brothers, and you'll find Tyler Brothers for Carhartt clothing. They are the place for guns and ammo, your Carhartt work clothes. They've got camo from Carhartt and Drake and many more. Work boots from Georgia Boot, Rocky, Red Wing, Justin, Wolverine, and many more. They are the place for your safety shoes, your snake boots, your camo, whatever else you need when you are out in the swamp. Tyler Brothers, since 1904, it's the place for you to be on a Saturday afternoon. They're open 8 to 6, 6 days a week, closed on Sunday. Stay away from the superstores and visit Tyler Brothers in Wagner.
This is the Edisto TV Podcast, connecting the Blackwater region.
Would like to take a minute to talk a bit about what's going on with Edisto TV. Of course, we've been focused on Blackwater a fair bit, so it hasn't been the front burner or front burner issues the past few days in terms of activity that is fascinating enough to make the podcast. Although I will mention we are setting up a gadget on the edisto.tv website whereby folks can post galleries of pictures that we are hosting. We prefer that they be pictures relating to the Edisto River, please. If folks were out at Blackwater and have images, we'd really like to get a lot of different perspectives of what was going on at Blackwater and what people saw and thought worth taking pictures of. So you can go to the Edisto TV website and post those pictures. Tom, you're the tech guy. Can you give them a little insight into how that works and what we're doing there?
Yeah, well, first of all, we've got it set up where you can log in with your Facebook account. So if you got Facebook and you're already logged in, then you should be able to get in. But honestly, we got a few little kinks that need to get worked out. If you want to upload some pictures, you can let us know through the links in the show notes. And if you have any trouble, I'll kind of guide you through it. But the idea is, yeah, we want people to be able to share pictures. We've had a lot of people on the Edisto Concerns Facebook page share pictures of different things that they found in the river and stuff like that. And we just want to keep that going.
Yeah, and I think that if we've got them on the edisto.tv website, that then we will be sharing those galleries through Facebook with Friends of the Edisto and also with the Edisto Concerns page. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All right. So I know that we put up a lot of pictures that Marge Slyker took out at the Blackwater event. I have some that I'm going to put up. My mom took some. By the way, my mom's 80 today. We're recording this on Monday the 23rd. Happy birthday, Mom. And moving on, one other thing, Tom, on the Edisto TV technology initiative.
Right.
I know that one of the things that you were checking into was some options on how we might handle our tower needs. Anything you'd like to say about that?
Well, it's been interesting. I mean, we're learning as we go. One of the things we think about is, you know, do we really want to build our own towers?
No.
Not really. And if people already have all these towers, the problem is, they're creating these, you know, their towers are very large and very expensive, and to recover that cost, they charge you a lot to hang something on it. So we're working that out, but we have found a tower company that owns a lot of them around here and throughout the Edisto River Basin that has a special program for wireless internet service providers, or WISPs, which is what we are. And so anyway, we're pursuing all options. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to build a tower if there's one already there and we can rent it at a reasonable price. But anyway, I have had a number of people express interest in the internet, and also some people that want to get in on building some towers. So, you know, we're moving slowly, but we're moving.
All right. Well, now that Blackwater is behind us, we will probably be talking to some more people, doing some more interviews about our attempts in this direction. So future podcasts, hopefully a bit more of substance to report on the technology initiative. I think it's time for another break, and then we'll be right back here on the Edisto TV podcast. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Edisto TV podcast.
And we are back on the Edisto TV podcast. Time now for this interview that Tom did earlier today with Jerry Bell, the executive director of the Bamberg County Chamber of Commerce.
Calling on behalf of the Edisto TV podcast, we've been just trying to do a weekly talk show, basically talking about things going on around the river and the Edisto River Basin up and down, and look forward to an opportunity to talk to you a little bit about what's going on down in Bamberg.
Okay.
So if you don't mind, take a minute first and just kind of introduce yourself, your name, and what you do, and what's your relationship with the river.
Okay. Well, my name is Jerry Bell. I'm the executive director for the Bamberg County Chamber of Commerce. And last summer, the chamber decided that the South Fork of the Edisto, and the Edisto is kind of Bamberg County's Grand Strand. You know, it's our natural resource that we felt like was being underutilized, in part because of all the blockages. So we got some volunteers together and cleaned up from Bobcat to Brabham boat landing, which is about 7 miles of river, plus a couple miles upstream we did as well from Bobcat. And we had one river trip last year. We had about 8 people, I think it was, showed up and went down with us. And so when we started making plans for this year, we included the third Saturday, May through September, as a river trip. We meet at Bobcat Landing, which is on 301, just north of Bamberg, the town of Bamberg. And we do different sections of the river. We meet at Bobcat every month, but we'll do a different section that borders on Bamberg County.
Okay, great. Well, how's the river looking down that way?
Well, from Zigzag to Whetstone, which is about the bottom 6 or 7 miles, it's open. We went down it just Saturday morning, and we didn't have to portage at all. It was no blockages, not even hardly anything narrower than about width and a half of the boat. But from there up on the South Fork, the last time I tried it, I didn't get very far without, you know, having to get out of the boat. So we hadn't got enough volunteers yet to get it cleaned up, but hopefully that will happen before the end of our third Saturday trip. But, again, the ice storm was pretty rough, as you know, on the river.
Absolutely. So you were saying the part that was cleared. Well, on this last trip, you did Zigzag down to Whetstone, which is Highway 21. Did you say it was cleared from Bobcat down to next bridge, or where is it cleared up that way?
Okay. Well, we cleared that last year. You know, last summer, the river was so high, it pulled in a lot of trees along the riverbank. So we were able to clear that out before the ice storm. The one trip I attempted down, I didn't get very far. So no, it's not open without getting out. I mean, the ice storm kind of undid a whole lot of what we had done last fall.
Okay. Well, hey, can you tell me a little more about the work of the chamber and just kind of how you all see the river? You mentioned, you know, it's your great natural resource and underutilized, which I totally agree. I think it's a tremendous asset to Bamberg County. What are the general thoughts, or what are people saying in the business community about the river and how you all can take advantage of it?
Well, of course, you know, a lot of the people who live right here in Bamberg County and right near it use the river a lot. You know, you go to Bobcat and Falls Landing, and there's, you know, this time of year, there's people swimming and lots of giant boat trailers sitting around in the parking lot. But we're also wanting to bring, you know, paddlers in from, you know, Charleston to Columbia and other surrounding areas to get them to come here. And of course, while they're here, we hope they'll, you know, go to some of our businesses and, you know, have lunch and look around after they get off the river. So it's a little ecotourism push, and I think the, you know, of course the business owners, we'd love to have, you know, any foot traffic on Saturdays that we do. Of course, that's just when we do our trip. You know, the river's there 24/7. You know, we're hoping that once people realize that we can get the river so it's more navigable, they'll be coming down and making plans on their own. But until that, as an introduction, that's why we're doing the third Saturday of river trips.
Great. Well, I hope to be there one of these. I guess it looks like July 19th and August 16th and September 20th are your remaining trips. So I do want to encourage folks listening to the podcast to try to get down and make one of those. And they'll be meeting at Bobcat Landing 9 a.m. on Saturday. Is that right? Third Saturday of each month.
Right. And we'll have basically what we do, we'll go to where we're going to put in at if it's not Bobcat, and we'll have drivers ready to follow you up to the get-out point where you can drop your vehicle and, you know, get you back to where your boat was left at. And I'll check out the river. We'll find the next section that looks good. It looks like we'll probably do the section from on the north out of Stowe from Kilcare Landing back to Zigzag. That goes under the old abandoned railroad track and under Highway 78 bridge. But I got to run it first to make sure it looks okay. I hadn't done it yet, but I'll do it before the 19th. We're trying to always find volunteers to help make the river more navigable. Again, we're not interested in clearing out every bit of limbs. We just want to make it wide enough for a canoe or kayak or a john boat to get through. We want to leave the river as natural as we possibly can, but as you know, the river changes from day to day because of the water levels. In fact, the Zigzag, the Whetstone, the water was about 2 foot lower, so there were some a tricky spot or two because of the logs that were exposed that weren't there about a month ago when I went down. But you know, again, the Chamber's interest is just to, you know, to get the word out that we've got a great stretch of river, and we'd love to have people come down and run it. I've had a guy come down from Charlotte and run the river with me, and one come up from Charleston and get on the river. So, again, we just want to introduce people who aren't familiar with the South Fork of the Edisto that the stretch coming through Bamberg is pretty good, and we're going to work at making it more open for canoers and kayakers.
Very good. Well, we'll definitely, I'm definitely going to make an effort to make a trip down there and meet with you and check out that part of the river one of these next third Saturdays.
For more information and archived podcasts, visit us at edisto.tv.
All right, so we are back, and Tom, I guess we're sort of relying on the Edisto River Basin Project report for content this week. Could be that we were really busy last week and didn't have a chance to prep a lot of material. But one of the things that I wanted to do here, last week we talked about the Swamp Rabbit Railroad, and this week we are going to talk a little bit about the history of the Edisto Basin, really up through about the time when the American Revolution happened. Anything you'd like to say before I do this little two-paragraph reading? Tom shakes his head no. So here on page 2 in the introduction of the Edisto River Basin Project report, I read, "The people of the Edisto Basin have always had a strong connection to the river, the land it drains, and the resources it supports. Evidence of this connection dates back to prehistoric times. The many Native American tribes who were the basin's first inhabitants relied extensively upon the abundance and quality of the basin's natural resources for their survival. They were part of the land and depended upon this rich and diverse natural world for their subsistence, relying nearly equally upon planting, hunting, fishing, and gathering. Europeans came to the basin region in the 1500s, with the first settlements appearing in the late 1600s. A vivid picture of 18th century Edisto Basin is provided by A.S. Sally in The History of Orangeburg County. Sally recounts the memoirs of Tarleton Brown, stating, quote, "Having cleared a piece of land, we planted, and found the soil to be exceedingly fertile in the river swamp, producing abundant crops," close quote. The forests were described as abundant with deer, turkey, wolves, wild horses, buffalo, and bear. The river itself has also long been a cherished resource. Even Lord Cornwallis is purported to have written to King George III that the Carolinas were worth fighting for, if only for the red-breast sunfish of the Edisto River. And I guess I can only say that if they felt that way then, the river should still be worth fighting for those of us who live here along its banks now.
True.
Tom, does that wrap up the Edisto TV podcast for this week?
Yes, it does.
All right. Thank you very much, and we will see you next week with Episode 6 of the Edisto TV podcast.
Thank you for listening to Episode 5 of the Edisto TV podcast, produced by Edisto TV, connecting the Blackwater region.